So here is a very clear command. We can say, don't rejoice in what you have done for God, or what you can do for God, or the abilities and gifts that you have, which God has given you. Don't rejoice in those, in the exercise of those things, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Now, who did that? None of us can rejoice that our names are recorded in heaven, because why? Because they were not written on the basis of your casting out demons. And most important of all, they were written before you were even born, before you did anything. And the Bible says our names were written in the book of life before the worlds were created. What can I glory about in that? And Jesus said, if you want to glory in something, I mean, it's good to glory in something, but glory in the fact that God did something for you, and not that you have done something for God. This is a very important thing. There are many things we do for God. We serve others, we pray, we sacrifice. We can, and in the back of our mind, we can keep a record of all these things. And the carnal person does. The spiritual person is not taken up with what he has done. He's taken up with what God has done. That's the point of this. And that's what I read to you the other day in the Message Bible, the last part of verse 20. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That is the agenda for rejoicing. You know what an agenda is? An agenda is when people have a committee meeting in any big corporation or anywhere, they have a committee meeting. Before the committee meeting, they send out an agenda. This is what the things we're going to talk about. That's what agenda means. And he says, if you want to make a list of things, a number of things in this agenda that you want to rejoice over, let not even one of those items in the agenda be what you did for God. Every one of those items in the agenda must be what God did for you. But is it like that? We all have to admit that we have not received as much grace from God as we should have. I mean, the clearest proof of that is when you don't get victory over a particularly sinful habit. For example, if you don't get victory over anger, and you're still losing your temper and getting upset, if you take it lightly, you'll be like that even after 50 years. I'll tell you that right now. You'll never change. Many of us have had sicknesses that we got healed of because we took it seriously. Some of our children had sicknesses when they were small. We took it seriously and we did something about it. And those children are healthy today. Imagine if you didn't take sickness seriously. I think all of us have got little children, and little babies tend to be sick very soon. Can you imagine if all of us had neglected our little babies from childhood and never given them any medicine, never treated them? I think we'd have very few children in the church today. We'd have lost most of them. Why are our children alive today? Because we took those little coughs and colds and diarrheas and all seriously. We don't take anger so seriously. No wonder it still continues. We don't take lusting in the eyes seriously. We don't take internet pornography seriously. We don't take telling little lies. I don't think any of us tell big lies, but little lies, exaggerations, giving people a wrong impression. We don't take it seriously. Then we continue to do that. We'll continue to do it forever, and we can think other people do it. We don't see ourselves doing it the same thing. All these things are evidence of the fact that we have not received grace as we should. Why do I say that? Because, let's turn to our favorite verse, Romans 6:14. It's an absolute statement. Sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That means, in very simple words, how do I find out whether I am under law or under grace? Just from that one sentence. Even a child can answer that. If sin rules over me, I'm under law. I may think, oh yeah, yeah, I'm not under law. I've finished with all this legalism. Many people think freedom from legalism is now we don't have follow all these little rules. How clever the devil is to make us think we have become free from legalism because we're not so sticky about certain rules. That's exactly what he wants you to think, because it's not true. Oh, we can wear gold on our body now. We're not legalistic. I wish it were so easy. If the way to get people out of being under the law was giving them to wear gold, I say to God, I would give a necklace to everybody to get them free from law, if that was the way to get them out of it. I wish it were so easy. It isn't. We think we are free from legalism because we can have a television in our home. Boy, if he could get people under grace through giving him a television, I say before the Lord, I'd give a television to everybody. Don't let the devil fool you that you're free from legalism because you don't follow any rules on these things. You're free from legalism when you don't get angry, when you don't lust with your eyes, when you overcome sin. That's this verse. Where did you get those other ideas from? From the devil. He wants you to believe that. Saying, once upon a time we were legalistic, now we're not. Now we are more free. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. But if the Son of God shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. There's only one freedom that Jesus ever spoke about. Only one. It was not freedom from poverty, like a lot of people talk today. It was freedom from sin. The thing which most people don't talk about. It was freedom from the love of money. It was freedom from seeking the honor of men. It was freedom from seeking to please men in order to please God. It was freedom from doing things to other people that we don't want other people to do to us. That's freedom. Not freedom to, you know, dress as we like and wear colored clothes and wear gold and have bigger houses and better cars. And that's how they preach in the prosperity gospel. It's one of the greatest deceptions in the last 50 years that the devil has put upon Christendom. That this is freedom. Freedom to dance down the aisle in a pulpit, in a church. They call that freedom. There are drunkards who do that in bars. That's not freedom. We have not got grace if we are sinning. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 9, Jesus said to Paul, and that applies to all of us, my grace is sufficient for you. Now that means it is enough for whatever we have to tackle. You have a trial, a problem, grace is sufficient to make you overcome that. In other words, If I send my little boy to the shop to buy something, I'll give him money according to the cost of the item. If it costs 10 rupees, I give him 10 rupees. If it costs 100 rupees, I don't give him 10 rupees. I give him 100 rupees. The money I give you is sufficient for what I ask you to buy, my son. That's the meaning of this verse. The Lord saying, have I told you to live according to a certain standard? My grace is sufficient for that. Throughout the ages, the devil has always said to man, God's standards are too high. Do you know the number of people who have told me, oh, Brother Zach, we can't join your church, your standards are too high. It's like saying, I won't go to that hospital, it's too clean. I'd like to go to a dirty hospital. Crazy. But that's how people think. The devil has fooled man, deceived man by saying, God's standards are so high. Don't even try to keep them. That's impossible.